Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What is it, Daddy?
Mist?
On the lake?
We've had mist on the lake before.
Coming off the mountain like that?
Two fronts meeting? Leftover from the storm? Something like that?
Sure.
Honey, I'm not the weatherman. Why don't you take Billy, get him dressed. I'll take him to town with me.
And I got lots of peas.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Good morning. Well, it's morning for us. And welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack episode 582, the first Film Sack of 2023.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Wow. That's pretty crazy. This is the show that mines the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind since 2009. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He also rolls down off the mountain mysteriously done away.
Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we accidentally, on purpose, open a door to a 2007 Lovecraftian dimension of, oopsie, did we do that? And live long enough to regret bringing down the wrath of God after he specifically asked us to stop misting up his plate glass dimensional windows with our human stank breath. Hey, what's in that dimension over there? None of your damn business, that's what. Now, what was that old saying again? When God closes a door, he opens a can of whoop-ass and pokes you in the neck with a stinger until your neck swells up like a teenage grocery store checkout girl and you have to decide between suicide and dying a horrible death. Clean up on aisle 666. Man, what a king. What a punisher. Groovy. Anywho, I worked all night on this intro, and right before I finished, the power went out, and you know that old tree Grandpa planted in the front yard? Yep. The one I used to play in as a kid. It got horizontal and blasted through my window and took out my laptop. I think Grandpa is trying to tell me something. Oh, well. So I was pushed for time, so I fired up my team of AI intro writing bots, and they wrote this. Expressive greeting, two big heads in a void, or something like that. Randall? Needless to say, I had some edits to make, but I still think humanity is on course for a reckoning. 2023. Hey, Randall. How about stop pulling on that rope attached to the lower half of what is left of that biker dude like he is some kind of bloody grounded kite? You're scaring the kids.
Yeah.
And making me cry.
Oh my gosh. I love that the AI would say Randall.
Randall.
Yeah. I love that. That was a nice touch.
It's true.
Yeah.
Headlines.
Yeah, very nice. Also with us, Randy. He was in charge of hiring all the future Walking Dead actors, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
True.
Welcome to your first day working here at the Snoggy Hoggy Grocery Store. I'm Brad, and I'll be your store manager, as well as the person who all of the angry customers yell at all day. Every day, and I get paid a whole $2 per hour more than you. Ooh. When the shit hits the fan around here, you might think I'm going to turn out to be important, but no. We've got a painter who lives over on the lake. I just want to repeat that. A painter who will turn out to be more of a leader than I am. Anyway, let's talk about what to do in case the army base on the mountain opens a rift to another dimension and alien monsters come attack the town. Three rules. Number one, focus on the generator, but then I guess completely forget about it or something. I promise you, it's going to be really important until it's no longer even thought about for the rest of your life. Number two. And as you know, all little towns have smoking hot women working the cash register at the grocery store. So you got to pick one to be your crisis wife and then do not kill her when you despair. Again, do not kill the cover model who works on register three. Speaking of three, number three, and this is so important. Just take your crisis wife to the restroom, grab a few cans of pop-top soup on the way, lock the door, and wait this thing out. You're going to hear people fighting outside and gunshots when they kill the preacher lady, and you just stay in there in the restroom and start your new life together. Oh, grab some deodorant, too. You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, dude. That's good advice for the cast of this movie.
Yeah,
they didn't look smelly at all. Brew.
Yeah, real gross. At the end of the list here, we have Brian. Your gun/tank timing is terrible, Ibbit.
Oh, boy, is it. Okay, folks, listen up. I know we're all freaked out about this weird mist that rolled into town, and I'm sure that somewhere else in this town, there's a supermarket with a bunch of survivors all holed up, fending off giant bugs and tentacles with broomsticks and butane lighters. But we're in a Costco, people, and we need to act like it. Fortunately, we don't have plate glass windows at the front of the store, but unfortunately, we have these big warehouse doors, and we don't want those bug alien tentacle grasshoppers to get in. Erica, you've been working the front of the Costco for the last 3 years, and you're going to be doing what you do best. Nothing gets in here without a membership card. I don't care if it's Cthulhu wanting to return a pair of Kirkland underwear. They're not getting in without a card. You got your clicker? Good. Okay, I see there are a few of you quoting End of Days and The Second Coming. Hey, we here at Costco have got you covered. We've got the room, so we've set you up near the back with an impromptu spot where you can pray, glare at the employees wearing shorts, and secretly plan to take control of the store. Yes, right back there. Keep heading back. It's that space right by the crackers, the bananas, and the Cocoa Puffs. Can't miss it. Oh, and if your congregation gets hungry, we've got four little old ladies back there who'll be serving you puff pastry spinach quiches out of tiny toaster ovens 12 at a time. And yes, they'll be wearing clear plastic gloves that are four sizes too large for their little hands. I see there's a group of you who want to take your chances with the monsters outside. That's absolutely fine. We won't keep you here if you want to go. Bullets? No, what do you think this is, a Walmart? No, we don't have bullets. But if you go to aisle 18, you'll find straws, and you can use those to draw straws to decide who gets the few bullets that you do have. Okay, good luck to you. Just stop by Erica on the way out so she can look over your receipt and make a vague attempt to count the items in your basket before drawing an indistinguishable squiggle on the bottom of your receipt. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I didn't you think we were going to get such a critique of the Costco method today. I know. Our intro.
Like, you know, it's because I like this movie so much that it's hard for me to complain about things. I had to say, okay, let's take this movie and just set it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I want to just draw a distinction between complaining about things, which a lot of movies give us, and making fun of things, which this movie gives us in spades.
Oh, sure. There's stuff to goof with, for sure.
This is the tropiest thing we've seen in a while.
Well Stephen King, so he's like that.
Yeah, he's Lord of tropes. He invented some of these tropes. But here's the thing. This is a short novella deal he wrote years and years and years ago, and it was one of Darabont's favorites. So Darabont put it in his head for 20 years he was going to make this.
Yeah, I'm going to do it next.
Finally did. And I'm going to just say it. In 2007, when this movie came out, it basically represented the high watermark, in my opinion, of King adaptations. Up till then, very hit and miss, mostly miss, and mediocre at best. Suddenly, here's one where I thought the adaptation was amazing. Now, that's not to say, like, you know, this is the most King-like story as Darabont, you know, with Darabont directing, whereas previous two films were much more grounded and serious. And I'm not counting those because those really are the, I mean, you know, Shawshank Redemption's an all-time classic.
They're the best. Yeah. You can't knock the Green Mile Shawshank, but yes, they are. They feel as much like a Stephen King thing as Stand By Me did, which is not very much.
No.
Yeah, exactly. No. This feels more Kingish than any King we've had. It's a good King.
Very much. Good King. And I think as far as like the supernatural King stuff, this really did. This was the new standard. I think since then there are challenges to that throne, But it still stands there as a great example of one of the best King adaptations there was ever.
Yeah.
I love this movie, so I'm just putting it out early.
To your favorite gunslinger there at the beginning with the panning race.
Well, right. Not only that, but keep in mind the book itself also makes references to there are other worlds than these and the whole Dark Tower thing. And this stuff, this alternate universe stuff is like ripped right out of there. So it's all part of that Kingiverse stuff, which I already loved. Him drawing that painting or doing that painting was just like this nice reminder of, oh yeah, we're in Crimson Kingland here, man.
Yeah.
In the very first shot of the movie, we're led to believe that he painted the poster for the thing.
Yeah, the thing on the wall. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes,
I saw that.
Which he would have done when he was 17 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, that was a little weird. That. Well, I guess we're not meant to. That's meant to think that, but also it could just be a fan poster on the wall. Who knows?
It's true. Yeah, he could have. Right, exactly. It could be one that he just loves.
Yeah.
His studio was the most non-artist's concept of what an artist's studio looks like.
Well, actually, what I thought, what he said was when he went outside, when he was bitching about everything, the tree falling, he said that he didn't know why he'd even brought his paintings down there. Because it was a bad choice because the tree went horizontal. By the way, that was the most defying thing in my head was seeing that tree go horizontal instead of crashing through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not how trees work, but no, okay.
It was like a Christmas Vacation style tree. Just ripped right through the window.
It's weird.
So the movie is The Mist. I don't think we said that. The clip did, but it's The Mist. Frank Darabont directed this. It would be his, well, so far, I hope he has more in him, but the last film he's directed. He's done some TV, but he has not made a movie since The Mist. And when I say he's done some TV, it was massive. He started the Walking Dead series, was showrunner on that for the first year, 2 years, whatever it was. And then brought half these people with him. According to the trivia, he wanted Thomas Jane in the role of...
Thank God he didn't. I could have probably never been to watch The Walking Dead.
Well, I can't think of his name. Who's Carl's dad? I can't think of his name.
Lincoln,
right, Andrew Lincoln,
the actor, and the character is
Rick Grimes.
Rick.
Grimes. Oh my lord,
Rick.
I don't know why that was so buried.
Pulling that one out.
Yeah, I could see Thomas Jane in that role, though. He could have been pretty good. But anyway, he took like everybody else. All the other side actors ended up in.
Yeah, nine shared actors between The Mist and The Walking Dead, and
it's a lot.
Very different Carol for sure.
Oh yeah, right. Totally.
I had so much trouble I had trouble too. I'd be like, oh, she's going to break out into her Carol role any second now. Nope.
In fact, she's just really there to be a set piece of like, I'm here when this happens.
She's his work wife. Work wife. That's what you call her.
Well, no, she's, well, no, not Carol. I'm sorry.
Carol, the first one to go out into the mist.
I'm sorry. The one that survived and glared on the way out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And see, that's, oh man. And you know, you talked about all the tropes and I feel like, it's tropey right up until that ending, which is, and I'm going to preface this right now. If you're one of those people who listen to the show and don't see the movie, you may want to see this one before you go any further, because the end of this is something that you don't see coming.
No.
And that's all I'll say right there.
Even if you've read the short story, you don't see it coming because the short, the novella does not have this ending.
Yeah. Darabont is the, he made this up for funsies. Stephen King loved it, but
But her role in every other movie like this, every other monster movie, horror movie, whatever, her role is the first sacrifice, mm-hmm. right? Like the, we need to see what's going on out there. So we need to demonstrate what happens if you leave the haunted house.
She's a canary.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they subvert that here in a way.
I wonder if she gets paid the same. That's pretty smart.
Well,
it's she's going to work for scale anyway. Might as well be the first one out. I'm out.
Yeah, but in this particular case, it was like, well, no, we're taking Andre Brower and his four idiots, and they're going to be they're the true canaries in the coal mine. We're going to pull that rope back and we're going to end up with no torso, man.
And we only get one canary. We don't know what happens to Andrew Brower.
We only get half a canary, actually.
Again, a very weird, you know, if you're so used to seeing him on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, it is so weird seeing him doing contractions and slang. And
I knew him.
So weird.
I knew him before.
Before Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, before that was like, that always threw me on Brooklyn Nine-Nine because I was like, man, he's such a serious actor otherwise, and this is just throwing me. And then I got used to him there and loved him in that. He's great on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then you see him here and you're like, Oh, yeah, right. This isn't a comedy. He's, you know, he's back to his roots. Yeah. Was it Homicide Life on the Street, I think, he was in? Yeah.
Was it? No, it's something that I haven't seen, like The Shield, or I'm just starting The Wire now, and I know he's done that. But,
The Shield was inspired a lot of these shots, too, right? Didn't they have, like, the camera guys from The Shield
series? Yeah, there was some. They did borrow some crew from The Shield. Yeah.
Wow. He was on Law and Order for a while.
Yes, Scott. Yeah. Yes, he was the star of Homicide Life on the Street.
He was, okay.
And so, like, my parents' generation, you know, watched every episode when I was a kid. And then, you know, I thought of Andre Brouwer one way, and then he plays this complete other role. He is by far my example of my IMDb trope of, no, that's not what known for means. How you can go look up Andre Brouwer. It says known for, and it doesn't include Brooklyn Nine-Nine. What is
really
wrong?
That's
a system.
Yeah, it's broken.
That's kind of effed. I don't know who decides that stuff, robots or people.
He was in all 153 episodes of Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He was amazing.
Seems like he should be known for that.
One of my favorite roles.
Frequency, like City of Angels, okay, popular movie, sure.
Yeah.
The Mist, Homicide, but take Frequency off that list and put on Brooklyn
Nine-Nine. I can't remember him being in Frequency.
No.
Why is that even there? That's crazy.
And so, you know, so like he's actually our step forward into the plot of this movie, right? Because really all you get at the beginning is character. Here's a character. He's a character. He lives here or he's vacationing here. I don't really care. He's a guy. He's, you know, he's Thomas Jane. You know, you love him. And then we're like next door neighbor. We don't understand. You get this like really juicy, like they've had an argument and there was a lawsuit and now the storm has come along and I've spent 3 years asking this guy to cut down that tree and he won't take it down. And so now they're in conflict, but they have to ride to town together. Like every little step of the way, Andre Brouwer's character is so interesting until they get to the storm.
Well, I don't mind that though. See, so we needed two bookends for this to work and why I think I love it so much. Marcia Gay Harden is the complete psycho freaking Bible thumping weirdo that is willing to kill everybody. Yeah. She's
God, I hated her.
She's the villain of the movie, by the way, the entire thing.
No, absolutely.
Because if they could have come together as a group without her being in there, influencing all that, they survived this. They
probably everybody would have stayed in that, in that place. And
You got an infinite supply of dog food and fertilizer to stack near the front of the store. I mean, this is amazing.
Yeah. You can say that forever. Yeah.
Humanity is definitely the horror here. This is a Stephen King thing. The humanity is definitely the horror here because, I mean, the monsters, they're just doing their thing, right? They're just
they just exist in the world animals. They exist.
They're monster. Right. Monsters gonna monster.
Yeah, they're gonna monst. But here's the thing, though. Like, when Brouwer... So Brouwer's the other side. He's the other bookend, which is... There's no way this is real. I don't know why you guys are all playing this huge joke. It's just a little fog. We're gonna go out... You know, like, he is so pragmatic about life and everything that it's the perfect other end of the problem.
Yeah.
And the middle is where, you know, Tom Jane's obviously, you know, in the middle, he's a workaday dude. He's kind of just trying to raise his kid and live his life and do his thing. So of course he's going to be the one that says, I recognize the supernaturalness going on. And I also know human behavior and we're going to have to figure out a way to find in the middle. But meanwhile, he's got wackadoo lady over here and wackadoo Andre Brouwer trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
Perfect situation for what this movie's supposed to do. Yeah.
Boils. Yeah. I love it.
And it's so good. Gosh dang it. This movie's good. My only complaint, I'll get it out of the way. Okay. Well, two, and Brian Nibbitt, you brought it up, so kind of. I guess we should bring this up. I think
I'll tell you my complaint if it's separate.
It might be separate. I think our chick in the bucket is Andre Brouwer. I think finding the MP all nested up full of spiders.
I thought that was him. You can't tell who it is. It's a cocoon person, and your mind assumes it's like, oh, we're going to find out what happened to his story.
When we first realize there's something up. The MP is looking for those three privates.
Right.
And you get this shot of him that lingers on his face way longer than it should. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like, this is Chekhov's MP.
They also did. They also, when they found him, the helmet with MP clearly visible falls down.
Yeah,
and then his arm. That all helped to identify who he was. Because the nesting that those spiders put people in is freaking nasty. That stuff's all over the place.
Ooh, the acid nest. I don't understand that.
I love it. Those acid
nest and the acid webs. Yeah,
dude. Those were so cool. That guy with his poor leg. Oh, my gosh.
His poor leg.
Yeah. And the one cool where effect. He fell, one of the dude's bodies fell over and just burst into spiders. Amazing.
Yeah, anybody's ever stepped on a spider and saw it turn into a million baby spiders knows what that looks like.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, snap, I made a mistake.
Really disconcerting stuff. So this goes to my only other complaint, which is most of the movie holds up, I think, effects-wise. I think it looks pretty good for 07 standards, except for the tentacle monster in the garage.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That thing looks stupid.
The practical effects of pulling that tentacle monster around.
I didn't mind the practical. Actually. The practical is fine. I just think the CG back there looked bad.
It's the it's the lawnmower man shriveling up and popping open.
They show it and it's in clear vision and they show it for a really long time. I thought it was pretty impressive. Usually you don't show the monster that much. Yeah.
Well,
it was interesting. That
scene has to end in a massive fight between Thomas Jane and William Sadler and others. Right. And that conflict is what you're there for.
Yeah.
I actually wish they hadn't shown like Chris Owen getting some of his chest pulled off and stuff, because it didn't help me with the human conflict. You know.
Yeah.
It was and just CGI was.
The thing on his chest and leg though, I thought looked really visceral. Like, forget about the CG tentacle doing it for a second, but the actual, like, what does it do when it suctions in and then pulls up?
Yeah.
That's nasty. That got me good.
I think it was important because I think a lot of this was skin horror, being that if you ever burnt, everybody's gotten burnt before, and you needed to understand why the characters would be willing to kill themselves over these deaths, because these deaths are like the worst kind. I mean, peeling skin, that kind of stuff. You know, getting chopped in half, it doesn't scare me too much because I'm like, it's over pretty quick.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting your skin burned off or getting ripped off like that, that's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And one more thing on the tentacle, the whole, it sits there for a long time. But then when you kick it or poke it with a stick, that's when it sizzles, shrivels up, and dissolves into nothing.
Yeah, that
dissolves into no proof.
But that was... what was funny about this part. It's like, that's a horror trope. You know, it's like convincing others that something supernatural happened and the supernatural thing disappeared and they just think you're crazy.
But at the same time, that sizzle and dissolve thing let us know for sure that it is not of this planet. It's from another dimension or something. Mm-hmm. And you're struggling as a viewer to kind of understand the connection between the mist and the creatures. You have to kind of invent your own answers, right? Like the mist is kind of the skin in which these creatures can live, and
their environment.
Yeah, if they're outside of that mist, they die and apparently dissolve.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that explains a lot of stuff. There's a lot of tropes that
They're fairly easy to kill if you have like a serious flamethrower, you know, equipment.
I guess if you have a big fan.
A big fan.
Blow the mist away from the creatures.
Right. So we may as well get to the meat of this here. This ending is controversial, very controversial. It left a lot of people very upset because the way this thing ends, and Brian Hibbett's right, if you haven't seen it yet, we do recommend seeing it because it's worth the twist to see it on your own. But if you have and you've stuck around with us here, it differs from the movie in that at the very end, Thomas Jane does what he believes is the most merciful thing. And I agree with him in the context of we're all going to die. We've just seen the big giant one. There's middle sized ones and tiny ones, and they're all bad. And we're not going to make this. So I've got four bullets in this chamber. I'm going to take old man, old lady, the lady holding my son, and hit my son himself, who's like 8 or something. Like heartbreaking, gut-wrenching. And I think Thomas Jane does an amazing job of like expressing that and the kind of madness that would bring to somebody for having to do that. Because again, his intentions are good because he knows he can go out there and just get eaten or whatever.
Yeah.
But let them all have a more merciful way out. He gets out of the truck and he's like starts yelling like come and get me, and then out of the mist comes like a weird shape, and then it turns out the shape is a tank and actually an armored personnel carrier, and it's got a bunch of survivors on it, including lady from Walking Dead who's got her kids with her, who left at the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Well, ain't that a pisser?
Yeah. So this whole scene, which I've now described, I don't know why I described it. If you saw it, you saw it, and if you didn't, you're gonna go back and see it. But it is. Really, I think, very affecting. And he apparently fought really hard for this change, fought with not King. King was down, but fought with producers and the studio. They were like, I don't know. This is rough. Why don't we just go with the original thing? And he's like, I've been wanting to do this forever. We're doing it.
So glad he did it, because it is, it's one of those things that, number one, if they would have done this with test audiences, no way would the test audiences have liked it. And the studios would have said, nope, test audiences hated it. You got to go back.
Yeah. Right.
The other thing is it's a twist on the twist. It's a twist on that Black Mirror or Twilight Zone type ending where the person who's been kind of a dick finally gets their comeuppance in a way that you don't expect. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, David's not a dick.
No,
he's, you know, he's a really good guy, and he's been trying to do the right thing the entire time. And to just basically say, all right, well, here's the last little right in your gut.
If you didn't believe in God, it's like, oh, there's got to be a God. Only a God, only a creature that would, you know, enjoy this much pain. Boom.
Yeah.
Watch him, exactly.
And you realize that if they just sat there.
Y'all filled with grief? Here, hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
I just think if they would have given it another, just 5 more minutes sitting in the car, just chilling out and looking at each other, talking about life.
That's what I understand. I tried to put myself in that situation, and I'm like, I'd probably go like, yeah, let's do it. And then as soon as that first shot rang out, all in that small car, that loud explosion from a gun that close to you that didn't hit you but was hitting somebody else, be like, change mine. I'm out.
The question that came to my mind, and this was almost going to be my intro, is, all right, you're Thomas Jane. How do you decide in which order?
Yeah, it's got to be the kid. You got to shoot the kid first. Absolutely. Then the younger lady. You kind of go to the youngest to the oldest because they've seen more shit. That's what you have to do.
Is that the way it works?
Last? Okay.
Yeah, good play with mom last.
And you don't want the kid. I'm sure it was the kid first because he's asleep. You know, you don't even want to wake him up.
Yeah, he kind of woke up. Dad, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, jeez. It's so rough. Like, and I really appreciate that it stayed. I don't like movies that, how do I put this?
That felt
earned. I do like movies. I like movies with happy endings. Okay. There's plenty of them.
Sure.
In fact, most of them have happy endings. But I love it when something comes along and it just subverts my expectations and says, this is the way we went. And I'm just left to deal with it. I like that.
Yeah.
I know.
I loved it. On TV Tropes, this trope is called Shoot the Shaggy Dog.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of examples of it. Like, you definitely recognize it, right? This whole thing where you basically you killed what's the dog? Old Yeller.
Benji?
Basically, you killed Old Yeller.
The one you have to kill.
Old Yeller, and then the veterinarian comes walking up behind you and says, oh, by the way, he didn't have rabies. He was just choking on something. I have a cure for it.
Shouldn't feed him chicken bones, by the way. Just saying. Okay, then. See ya.
Apparently, most of the page for Shoot the Shaggy Dog is Coen Brothers movies, because the Coen Brothers love this thing where you get to the end and everybody fails. And then you find out that life goes on.
They do it. Fargo is an example of this. It's just complete and total, you know, mayhem for everybody except Marge and her husband and his 2-cent stamp. Like, it's and it's magical because it isn't complete. Everything's not lost. It's just really bad. Mm-hmm. And then, but, you know, he made her eggs and it's going to be okay. And she's still pregnant. She's going to have this baby. You know, like, there's this moment of like that. This didn't even have that, though. This was like,
no.
You know, they're, on the one hand, you're almost kind of happy. Well, there's Carol and her kids. It's hard to separate her from Carol.
And our main character lives.
And then, and also it looks like the military, A, cares about civilians. They're gathering them up. But also, B, they may have gotten a solution here. And they're sweeping through wherever the problem is and taking care. Like, there's some optimism on top of it, but if I were him, I'd just be like, shit, 5 more minutes and we'd have had this. Right.
That's the human. That's what King is so good about doing too. And Darabont does a good job at it, kind of going to that next step. Yeah. It's like really just getting you right there in the humanity, right?
Yep.
Like, oh, come on. Right.
Stabbing you square in the humanity. That's a good way of putting it.
And the movie needs this, by the way. This ending, without it, if you just had David and his son, you know, emerge from the mist and you realize, oh, wow, everybody died behind him. Like, it would have hung so much more pressure on the human infighting in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Which it has some problems, right? Like, you spend the whole movie asking yourself, would I really devolve this much this fast? You know, like, you know, you want to believe yes, because that's what the story is telling you, but it's all very questionable. So
that's how I feel about, I've talked about, but we've talked about this, how I feel about Walking Dead in general. It's like, I always think that they won't be that people aren't going to be that terrible.
Right. Oh, people.
You and I are basically Toby Jones. I'm Toby Jones to your Thomas Jane.
Yeah, kind of,
like,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, you put more than two people in a room and they're going to take sides and figure out ways to kill each other.
Exactly.
Dude, that guy.
Have y'all not watched any reality TV? Jesus.
Well, yeah, but that stuff's edited for your pleasure, like,
right,
having spoke to enough reality TV editors. Who's that guy that was on DTNS that time? I think his name, but that guy, he's basically ruined reality TV for me. He did Pawn Stars, he worked on he worked on the Storage Wars show. He says none of it's real, we made all that shit up. I'm like, all right, great.
Oh, well, I still think that people teaming up and going against each other, that's human nature.
Yeah, they do. But when they show it on TV, that stuff's just manufactured. Like, it's not, it's meant to tweak all that stuff. But I'll bet you, if we had a store,
Richard Hatch totally formed that first alliance on Survivor.
That's right.
All by himself, using his big brain.
Yeah. But imagine the four of us are stuck in a grocery store and giant semi-translucent white spider showed up.
I would eat you.
You would not. We would band together.
You would get 24 hours before I start eating people.
We'd band together. We'd figure out a way to blockade stuff. If there were skittish people, we'd work on helping them through it. Like, we would not. Well, even if that lady existed, I don't think she gets the traction she gets in the movie.
Oh, I disagree. If we were barricaded, I think we would be fine. As soon as we saw like three or four people die, like from a tentacle monster and one stabbing somebody in the neck, you would start thinking, all bets are off, baby. All bets are off.
It's impossible to say with the four of us, because obviously the four of us, we would 100% band together, and we exactly.
Yeah.
But let's.
If I'm stuck at the Hoggly Woggly, what'd you call it? It's Piggly Wiggly. We call it the Hoggly Woggly sometimes. What'd you call it, Randy?
Really?
Something like that. Just trying to not say Piggly.
It was called.
Wiggly.
Do you guys know the name of it? I wrote it down. It's called the Food House.
Yeah, Food House.
Yes. Great, the one in the movie. Yeah.
What a stupid name for a
That's
store.
Advertising.
I know, right? Where you want to get your groceries? How about the Food House? Yeah.
It's like what Vikings would have called the first grocery store.
We will put our food in the Food House.
This is Food House. It houses food. Yeah, anyway, that was dumb. But I don't know. I tend to be a little too optimistic when it comes to end of time,
Twitter is such a great example of what this microcosm would be. It's like, hey, everybody, check out this awesome sandwich that I just made. Oh, yeah, that looks really good. Ooh, I want to get me one of those, too. Wow. Oh, hey, where'd you get it? Send me a link. Sandwiches are dumb.
No, you're not wrong. But see, there's no stakes in that exchange. I think when there's stakes and you're also physically face to face, I think the equation changes.
I think it gets worse when there's only one sandwich and you've got all those people fighting.
Well, that's true. But we had a lot of sandwiches. We had a lot of sandwiches in there. They had food, you know? They were stocked.
Yeah.
So I think, I don't know. Again, maybe overly optimistic about how people would behave given, you know, the right circumstances. I just feel I would
100% like that to be the case.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the pessimism or the skepticism in me. Yeah. I'm not a pessimist by any means.
No. But healthy skepticism is good. Sure.
The main thing is there's a difference between reality and reality TV, and that is entertainment value. And so that, you know, we have this debate because we're watching a movie, a fictional movie, and we just don't really want to believe that reality would play this way, because of course it wouldn't. You'd have people, like I said, locking themselves in the bathroom and then just staying there until they starved to death.
But nobody, here's what happened. Well, that's
sitting
true
on the floor
that's
and
true.
Using the toilet roll like it's a towel.
Yeah, there'd be a bunch of that. But here's the thing, though. Like, as we watch this, nobody's watching this movie. I don't care how big of a jerk or nice of a person you are. Nobody watches this movie and goes, oh, yeah, I'm the William Sadler character for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Or, oh, yeah, I'm the crazy lady with the too much religion. Right. Like, they don't do that. They all want to be Thomas Jane, even if they're not.
They really should have listened to Mrs. Carmody.
I've got to be honest. I know who I am, and I'm probably William Sadler.
You're not. You're not going to turn on everybody and start going, hallelujah, and try to kill somebody. You're not doing that.
Right. Sorry, guys. Don't get trapped in an elevator with me. You'll die.
I can't picture it. you're too kind-hearted. I don't think that happens.
Count your teeth.
Yeah. You know, next time you want to talk, just count your teeth.
What I think will happen more often is we'll end up with more Andre Browers. People are like, whatever, dude, I'm going out. This is stupid. You guys are all delusional. Yep.
Like the first 24 hours, you'd have a lot of those. But really, I do see myself like a Toby Jones. It's like, I don't know, like an Ollie Weeks. That's probably more like who I would be.
I'm definitely the Toby Jones.
Yeah.
Like if, you know, if each of these people is a type of character, maybe a little bit of the Thomas Jane. Obviously, if my kid was in there. Right. Those of you who get the pre-show know that, hell, I'd do anything for my kid, even at 2 in the morning. But,
right.
But I'm probably the Toby Jones, like, yeah, all right, this is what's happening.
I'm unloading on Marcy Gay Harden if she talks one more time. I'm unloading, man.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, probably the most realistic thing is that they all turn on her at some point, or most of the good people turn on Mrs. Carmody. The least realistic thing is that it takes them so long to turn on her, because like it's much more likely that you would
a gun.
It's much more likely that you would elect a leader, maybe, I don't know, but you try,
right?
And that leader would wrap some duct tape around her mouth.
Yeah, that's what I do. She is the villain of the whole thing. All things are better if she's out, and she goes out way too late. She does. She sucks.
I like the little bug creature doesn't like her. Like the bug creature is like, nah.
Yeah. She takes it as some kind of miracle sign.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. she takes it as some kind of Jesus miracle, but really the bug's just like, ugh, I don't want to be on her.
Yeah,
I'm not touching that. Yeah.
What is she doing in such emotional movies? Mm. It is amazing how Marcia Gay Harden finds these scripts. Her character and her performance in Mystic River will haunt you.
Oh yeah,
when you see
it's
it,
like, here too.
She's very good, mm-hmm. really good at what she does. I think that's just her job in Hollywood. She's probably very nice in person, but her job is, hey, can you play very upsetting, difficult, very complex characters? Can you do that, please, and never be simple or whatever? Like, that's just her job.
And don't let your inner humanity show through. Like, with Thomas Jane, the whole time, every time he says something, you're like, oh, come on. You're just we all know that you went out with beers with the boys for beers last night. This is a guy who likes to play fantasy football. Don't tell me he's a painter.
Yeah, it just doesn't fit. Somehow that didn't fit very well, but I don't know.
Not with William Sadler either. It's like, oh, Mr. Hollywood poster painter. Look at you.
There's some people who will just be born, just because of their look, they'll be born to always play these type of characters. Marcia Gay Harden has I think it's her eyebrows, very judgy, like.
she's up in the church choir. She's going to come down and. How she felt very much.
William Sadler has that too, which is why it was such a, such a different role. What was it? Was it him in Green Mile? No, it was.
Yes.
It was him in Green Mile.
No, I'm sorry. He was in Shawshank. He was Haywood in Shawshank.
Yeah. Oh, right. And he was a good character.
He was in Bill and Ted.
He was nice. He was just kind of dopey. In Shawshank.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, not smart.
But usually, you see him and he's like, oh man, that guy is he's just a dick. He's going to be the dick of this movie.
Die Hard 2.
He's going to be death.
Huge dick in Die Hard 2. He was the main villain. And then in Bill and Ted, well, that wasn't he wasn't a dick. He played death, but he was amazing in that.
That's a dickish thing to do, though.
He was in Green Mile. I just looked it up. There's a bunch of people that are scattered around in related movies.
Well, it's clear Darabont loves him and he just brings him wherever he goes.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Which is fine with me because I'm a big Sadler fan. That guy's infinitely interesting.
He wasn't in Walking Dead because he feels like he would.
He really does, doesn't he?
He could have been the other Merle, Daryl and Merle.
Yeah,
brother.
He could have been Merle.
I loved him in Demon Knight, which we need to watch, by the way.
Demon Knight, hold on.
Demon Knight. Oh, God, I love that movie so much.
I don't know what that is. I don't know why that's not. Oh,
Demon Knight, so good.
Tales from the Crypt. Rob Zombie?
No, it's Tales from the Crypt. I don't think Rob Zombie had anything to do with it. No.
Demon Knight with a K or Knight with an N?
Demon Knight with a K because he's a knight.
Oh, it's a Tales from the Crypt.
And it's Tales from the Crypt. Yeah, and it's got the filter song in it. Ooh, it's so good.
Billy Zane, William Sadler, and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh, it's so good.
Take her name out of your mouth.
Oh shoot! Right. I'm gonna get slapped. I gotta watch. Oh, Dick that's Miller. Funny. We love Dick Miller. That's a automatic.
One more thing
and
about
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah.
One more thing about William Sadler. I never saw Roswell. He was in all 61 episodes of Roswell. I am now interested in watching Roswell.
Yeah, same. I haven't either. I didn't know he was.
I've never seen any of it. I watched a little bit of Roswell. Full of covers.
Oh, was it?
I watched a little bit of Roswell. It's pretty good.
Some of those WB shows, they were like, hey, what if we just ran every cool song ever made? That's how we get popular.
That we can afford. Right. There's a line.
Yeah, there's
a lot. Miami Vice every Friday night.
I did. Man. I loved it.
Boy, do we need to put Demon Knight on our list. It's got an uncredited John Larroquette as the slasher.
Yeah.
Yes. So good.
We haven't had him do that since he narrated the beginning of what was the movie John Larroquette?
Did we watch Blind Date?
No, there's something else.
You need to watch Blind Date, though.
Damn it. I can't remember.
Bothers the hell out of me. I don't know why.
Never saw
Blind Date. It's one of those uncomfortable movies. And it was, I want to say it was one of the movies when I was working in a movie theater. It was one of the movies that was playing there. So I could go in anytime on my break, pop in and watch a little bit of Blind Date, which was just a dumb thing to do. But
why not?
Where else am I going to go?
Don't judge me.
Yeah. What else are you going to do?
So I saw that movie in bits and pieces. I've seen the whole thing, but saw that movie in bits and pieces for such a long time.
Did you guys notice Blake Edwards movie, right? Yeah, Blake Edwards, yes. I think. Yeah. Right? Oh my gosh. Yes. Have we done a Blake? Wild. I don't think we've ever done a Blake Edwards movie here.
I think we have, but I just think it's wild.
Have we done any of the Pink Panthers, which I think would be good.
Let's do the second one. That second one is so good. We should do that.
Yeah. Oh, A Shot in the Dark?
I can't remember. Is it Return? I don't remember what it's called. One of them has one-eyed Klingon actor who died. He was in Knives Out. He just passed away. Can't think of his name. Christopher Plummer. That's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. Chris Plummer. Sure, yeah.
Yeah, he's young in that. I found a little scrutiny.
Scrutiny.
This is in the trivia. It says, this is Thomas. Okay, so this is just an issue. People aren't keeping up with the times, but it says, this is Thomas Jane's second Stephen King movie. He played Henry in Dreamcatcher in 2003, which is true. We saw that movie here. Mm-hmm. Right? I think we did.
Yeah, we did. We saw Dreamcatcher.
But the actual statement that this is a second King movie is incorrect because in 2017, which is fair enough time to get this updated, he was in the Netflix film 1922, another Stephen King short story turned adaptation. Wow. Also very good, by the way. Really good. He's fantastic in it. Highly recommend 1922. It's very good.
This is our fifth Thomas Jane movie.
Hold on. Let me guess. You got Punisher.
Yep.
You got this deal.
Yep.
You got Dreamcatcher.
Correct.
This deal.
Four, you say? Let's see.
Five. This is our fifth. You got two more to go.
Do you guys know what? What else? What else?
It's not fair because he wasn't a main character in these other two.
That's okay.
He was in Deep Blue Sea. I guess he was a kind of a main character in that movie, but really all you remember is sharks. Yeah. And he was
Samuel
in
Jackson.
Yeah. He was in Face Off.
Oh, right.
Oh, really?
Small role in Face Off. That's right. I'm a big Tom Jane fan. I think his character, Detective Miller on The Expanse, unbelievable. So good. Deserves more than it got. I mean, I know in some ways it's just a noir trope, but I love him in that so much.
Yeah.
So good.
Not really a lot of other crossover for us in this movie, except a guy named Brian Libby. Brian Libby played Biker in this movie.
Oh, is he the big guy? Is he half a biker?
Yeah.
And
so good.
I felt bad for him because that guy had good, and I felt bad for him.
I liked him.
We have seen him in 8 movies now.
Oh, wow.
He's just
double usually?
You know what? This movie is absolutely chock full of interesting looking character actors. Mm-hmm. And Brian Libby is an interesting looking character actor.
Yeah.
So, and we've seen him in Action Jackson, Air Force One, Dreamskate, Eraser, Heat, In the Line of Fire, and The Octagon.
He's a very interesting dude. I like him every time he shows up, but you're right about the character actors. There are handsome and beautiful people in this movie, but there are also people who are just interesting. Toby Jones is never not interesting to watch.
I know. Uh-huh.
He's like a little elven man, kind of.
whoever said, hey, we got to make that guy play Truman Capote. It was like the most brilliant casting, kind of the most obvious, easiest casting ever.
For sure. But like even I just watched some episodes of this new Western on Prime called... I think I'm going to recommend a lot this week called The English, if I can finish it. And I really like it. And he's in it, but only the first episode. and I won't give any more away, but he's only there for just a brief little stint, but it's fantastic. He's just so watchable and so interesting. I just, of all the character actors working today, I always get happy if I see Toby Jones show up.
For sure.
Just
for sure. Artem Zola.
Yeah. Who was the Doomsayer actor? Which guy was that? You guys know what I'm talking about? He died out in the parking lots.
The one
who was always like, it's the mills and it's the damn mills. I knew it was going to happen. And yeah, the chemical clouds. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, that like guy. That he guy. Goes, that's a toxic cloud from the military. That guy.
Is it Buck Taylor? Is that who it is?
Might be. I like him too.
He looks like a Buck Taylor.
With a name like Buck Taylor.
Right.
I also feel like the lady who played, Frances Sternhagen, who played Irene, the older lady.
Oh, God. Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Cliff Clavin's mom.
That's who mom. It is. Damn it, Brian. I could not make the connection. Shit. That's it.
Yeah, when I was in Vermont, we went to a Christmas party, and there were four ladies that looked just like her in this film.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Four ladies.
That's great.
I always think she's the lady in the boat in the Dante's Peak. Who is that lady? Why do I always get those two confused?
Is that her? Maybe. Hold on.
I don't think so. I think it's the other lady I always think's Cliff's mom. Remember Dante's Peak? I can't remember.
This lady's awesome.
Row, row, row your boat. And then she jumps out of the boat and she pulls in the acid lake is going, eating her up. She's going, ah! Yeah. And they're going, no, Grandma, get back in the boat. Remember that?
I
don't remember that at all.
Remember that?
There's no way that if I saw that clip, it would be better than what I have in my mind from your retelling of it.
Yeah, no doubt. She was in Doc Hollywood. I remember that. And she's been working since the 50s. 51 was her first thing. And she's alive, but not working now.
Elizabeth Hoffman, Ruth, that's who it is. I always get Elizabeth Hoffman.
Oh, different lady, yeah.
With her, yeah.
But they're totally very similar. Lady. I just thought she was perfect.
Amazing. Yeah, she's just amazing.
She's really good.
And she's my example of, I can't believe she wasn't ever on MASH. Every episode of FilmSack, I'm like, there's a person here.
Oh, that's that's fair. She looks like she would have been a nurse or something.
Yeah. Totally. Older nurse who has some kind of problem. Yeah, she's doing mercy killings behind everybody's back.
I love it. I love that we're talking about MASH and you say some kind of problem. Everybody on MASH has some kind of problem.
Everybody's broken.
That show has some kind of problem. Alexis Davalos, she played the cute checkout girl.
The brunette.
Check her out, girl.
Laurie Holden was the blonde. Alexa Davalos was the brunette.
Yeah, and she is, I think, striking and unforgettable in roles like Man in the High Castle.
Sure.
Some other stuff, but she was in Punisher amazing. As well. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh, was she in Punisher? The movie?
She was the TV show, the series.
Oh, okay.
The Barenthal, the other guy from The Walking Dead.
I got you.
Oh, yeah. Look at all these connections.
I just love how they couldn't really make her look like a cash register worker in a grocery store. And
babysitter.
It's like Ana de Armas in Knives Out, right? Like, how do you put makeup on this gorgeous human being that makes them look like they're just a nurse?
Right, exactly. Just... Yeah. Like, this is the best job I could get, working as a checkout girl. I thought she was Carrie Russell when you first see her because of the hair. And
she has Carrie Russell's eyes.
I love that they went with face gore. It was like, we got this beautiful lady. What's the worst thing that can happen to her? You know, we could shoot her in the gut. No. Let's make her face get all bloated right after the guy.
That's very effective.
That in his face wrist.
It's very effective. It's like... That I mean, I won't say, well, maybe, what did I put for grossest? Hold on, let me make sure I didn't use that. No.
Oh, yeah, I could not think of what the grossest. That
almost made the list because it's just excellent practical effects, but she really just looked, that looked so painful, and what a horrible way to die. So that really stuck with me.
I think that, but then I'm like, I was at first like, oh, no, that'd be terrible. I'm like, you know what? You just slowly black out. You couldn't breathe. You just slowly black out. I guess being scared would be the suckiest part of that.
Yeah, because you'd be fighting for air and, you know, doing all your normal human survival stuff. But,
boy. It's better than getting chopped in half, I suppose. I don't know. Maybe
I don't know.
Or getting your skin burned off. That poor guy. If you ever burn anything, any type of real surface area.
Yeah, and just the idea of these hot web wires draping across you.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, they really got me with that. That was really scary. Yeah. Everything in that pharmacy, freaking F that place. That sucked.
Oh, yeah.
The pharmacy.
Spiders with skeleton faces. Thank you. I'm done.
Yep.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.
I feel like there's a quality to gross out where when you're watching a movie like this, you prep yourself for it. Like you're mentally, armed to deal with gross things.
Right.
And so like the, and not any particular thing is going to gross you out more than all the rest.
Yeah, that's true. But it leaves a mark, a lot of that stuff. But what grossed me out here, let me play the deal.
Gross.
Here's what grossed me out. Well, let's see if you guys, anything else.
I would like to guess that it's what Marcia Gay Harden was kneeling in and smelling while she's praying in a bathroom stall at a grocery store.
Yeah.
Facing the toilet. She's facing the toilet in that stall. I don't know why.
Doing her weird mutter pray thing. Is that the one? Let's find out.
I love that she wiped her face off the toilet paper like it was a towel on a rack. Yeah. And then she just left it. And I'm like, oh, no, lady.
How is that more gross than people being dismembered? I don't know.
Well,
I don't
know. You are correct. That was the grossest thing in the movie, in my opinion. Very, very good call. What did make a close second, though, even though it's a non-practical effect, that first bug that lands on the window while the guy's eating his chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, dude, I still jump 5 feet.
Not while I'm
eating
my chicken, man.
And I even saw it coming. I'm like, oh, yeah, this scene. I see it way off in the distance. And then wham!
That was Right. That was Ringo, caveman size, bug right there.
Yep. Totally was. It really was. And it sounded here's the sound of it.
Ah, God!
I just, something about it, man. I can't do it. I just can't do that. So that was a close second, but congrats, Randy. You got the grossest thing. Farewell.
I don't know why it took them so long. I was getting, it's typical horror stuff though, but I don't know why it took them so freaking long to go, yeah, turn those lights out, man. Turn off the lights.
Right, exactly. Like he says, oh, they're attracted to the lights. To the lights. Like he's trying to figure out, so what's the solution if they're attracted to the lights?
Yeah. Meanwhile, you got Adam Sandler, William Sadler and his buddy running around turning more on the whole time. Yeah. It's like, no, the opposite. Turn them off. Don't turn a floodlight on, you dumbass.
Like I said, I am Sadler in some ways because I would totally do something stupid like that and then have to yell at me, stop it. I'm like, what do you mean stop it? Okay, I'm sorry.
You're reasonable, though. Help. You're reasonable. He was an empty soul, that guy. Yeah. Which is a great role, but man, I love Sadler. Again, he can be in whatever. We should seek out movies with Adam. I keep saying Adam Sandler.
Watch Demon Knight. That's one of my favorite Sadler movies. He's just... I love him.
Okay. So it's on the list, right? We have to do that. Get that in there. Get that done.
Sure.
I'll send you each a copy of my laser disc.
Yeah, do that. it says there's some trivia here that says Stephen King says he was so genuinely frightened, and this is an interview, by this adaptation of his novella that Frank Darabont described that as the happiest moment of his career.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why he stopped here and said, nah, I'm not directing any movies anymore.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm going to go down from here. It can only get worse.
I think that's really unfortunate. He's one of the most interesting directors maybe ever.
Yeah.
And has such a small body of
work. How could you come away from Shawshank Redemption and ever call anything else the happiest moment of your career?
Right. I don't know. Maybe that's that was wild. Hard. Maybe that was really hard and the warden in that was such a dick.
Yeah.
Boy, Stephen King really, really does like to take the religious, not only religious fanaticism, but that combined with inherent hypocrisy that you often find in that fanaticism. And he loves spreading that out in his stories.
Yeah.
It's just like that
word. One of the scariest things. I mean, any extreme religious beliefs is going to be one of the truest, scariest things in the real world, right?
Yeah.
Because that's other people.
Yeah. That's what people in a situation like this, they go, oh, giant, horrible, skull-headed creature spider. That reminds me of Revelations chapter 10 verse. It's like, no, it doesn't. Let's go a different way.
This is also one of those people. And there are people out there like this who they have their own Bible. They've been writing.
That's why it's scary. Mm-hmm.
She's got a notebook and that thing started out blank. And she's been writing, scary Bible verse fan fiction.
Yeah.
Right.
For a while.
Yeah.
Waiting for this moment.
Yeah. Just to let you know, I'm not attacking anybody who believes in any Bible or has any religious beliefs. Please believe what you want to believe. I'm just saying what is super scary is think about someone else's religion. Don't think about your own. No one's attacking you here. Think about somebody else's religion. So they believe it so deeply that they would do anything for it.
Yeah.
And
it's like any extremes. That's exactly. That's what we're talking about.
That's scary.
And the guy, they even illustrate it because the big biker guy goes, lady, I believe in God, but not the psycho you believe in or whatever he said. Right.
Psycho, bloodthirsty God you believe in.
God demon or whatever he says.
You can talk it over with the devil when you're in your hell.
She always damn it. Every time she had the good comeback. So, damn it.
As awesome as it is when Lori Holden slaps Marcia Gay Harden right across the face.
Oh, that's great.
I was distracted. I didn't like that this whole subplot, you know, of cult leader, wannabe cult leader versus everybody else.
Oh, I liked it.
Distracted me from some of the really funny and fun aspects of this movie. Like the guy who goes out with the rope tied around his waist. I just love that whole sequence. It is funny. You should be making fun of that. You should be laughing your ass off when they drag the lower half of his body back.
And he won't stop dragging it. I'm like, dude, you see it at this point. Stop.
Quit dragging it. The whole place is freaking out and you're still pulling it. Like, you're going to get something out of this. Like, no, that's the guy's waist down to his feet. Yeah. You're done. He's
you
done.
You can stop now.
Yeah.
Stop.
Quit pulling on that dude. But I guess maybe this is on purpose. And I guess hats off to Darabont for doing this to me. But there's a part of me that needs to know Brower's face and reaction when he sees all this is real. Yeah. I need to know it.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. They don't give it to me, you know?
No.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's a mistake. I'm saying, well done, it freaking worked. It pissed me off.
Oh, shit, Peralta. Yeah. Peralta, you are right.
I am curious, though. I am curious because the script did get, there were some scenes that the script absolutely got, you know, cut from. So there was probably a scene in there. It was probably intended to give us an answer to that.
I mean, they could have easily done, the MP guy could have been him, or, you know, they could have done.
Yeah.
They could have shown him in a number of ways. But, you know, maybe that is not as satisfying. It's very Aliens quality to what they were doing there. It's like, oh, we found somebody. They're still alive. Oh, shit. Napone. What's his name? No. Burp, burp, burp. And everyone's freaking out. And then the alien pops out of his chest. Yeah. They did that a lot. And that's fine.
I feel fine. Let's eat some soup.
Yeah. But him just apologizing and then twitching. And then now bugs are crawling out of your face. New face holes. Oh, man. Yeah. Really know how to churn my butter.
The gore was, I appreciated the gore in this movie because it was quick. And it didn't hang around real long, and so that was good. Because
it was the right amount.
A gore movie.
It was the right amount. Yep. I mean, also you have a prestige cast, and it just makes it feel. Well, I say prestige. I mean, I don't know. The acting's top notch across the board.
Yeah,
and it feels like that kind of movie, but with these elements fun. I mean, there's a fun.
You forget.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, that's the visual look of how it was filmed with like the SHIELD crew. That was funny at first. It was very SHIELD at first. It kind of got away a little bit from it. But those first couple of scenes in the grocery store and stuff, I was like, wow, who shot this? The guys from the SHIELD? Because it was definitely had their finger on it.
Yeah, did feel like it that. Was wild. He directed a bunch of the SHIELD, didn't he? Yeah, he was involved.
I want to praise this movie. I want to praise the filmmakers here for making this movie look a little bit timeless. It doesn't look like 2007.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
They did that
on purpose.
Is that our year? Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
2007 is when it came out.
Like, dude drives a 30-year-old Land Cruiser or something. Yeah. And like all of the, you know, the technology, like there's a shot of him using his phone as a flashlight. There's not really a lot. Like you knock down the phone and the power and you can set your movie in any time, really.
Right.
And it's just like there was a lot of stuff like that. The people who work in the grocery store were dressed like they were working in a grocery store between 1958 and 1998, you know?
Mm-hmm. Good
they
point.
Did a really good job. That was intentional, according to the trivia.
Yeah, so he also says they did such a good job. Or King was very approval, had a big approval of this, that they filmed it all in Texas and Louisiana, but they really made it feel like Maine. And according to King, they nailed it somehow. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's easy when everything's fogged up.
You guys nailed it.
It's all fogged up. is that your impression of Stephen King?
That's my Stephen King.
That's okay. King. Uh-huh.
Yeah, as far as I can go with it.
Way more nasal.
Yeah, you gotta go.
You
guys really nailed it. No, I'm sorry. Is that better?
Not really.
And that's why I let Ibbot do the impressions.
That's right. That's right. Moments that make me mad, but I still think make a good movie is guy finally gets his mop lit and then trips and then sets himself on fire.
Right. Yes.
Gosh,
my
dang
intro
it.
Almost was almost the lighting of the mop. I almost went entirely lighting the mop. It was a hilarious Keystone Cop whole thing.
Really also, wasn't his wet when he pulled it up to light it? Doesn't it? I don't think it works that way. Was he soaking it?
I think he was soaking it in the fuel. Because I was thinking the same thing. Like, well, are you soaking that in gasoline? Holy crap.
Yeah.
Has
for disaster.
Nope. Right. Has little Striker technology improved since 2007? Because she seemed like that was a. That always happens with those Strikers. I usually have pretty good luck with those.
Lighting your barbecue or whatever.
Stuff. Yeah.
I have a terrible time with those. They always take two, three clicks before I can get it going. What you need is you need somebody who's super into weed or something, because they always carry amazing lighters, those people. They have incredible lighters.
Those really cool, the torches.
Kind
of like what... one of the characters in Glass Onion has.
That the Glass Onion torch. Exactly. I love that kind of stuff.
I've got some weapons. I think we should have a mop with gas on it. Where should we keep the gas at? In a bucket on the floor, just free sitting? That's a good plan.
Right under where we light the mop?
Right great where we idea. Light the mop.
Yeah, great idea. And then give it to Slippy McTrouble Step. He's not going to make it. Like, he was just biffed it immediately. Third degree burns everywhere. It's like, oh my gosh. And half the store's burning. What a nightmare. So that really bugged me. But I also like it. I like the chaos. I guess I was okay with it. The CGI, again, mostly holds up. I think everything post tentacles is pretty strong. Even the vision, when they're in the Bronco, or sorry, the Toyota, the Land Cruiser, and you just see the big one.
That's so good.
That's badass.
Yeah, the one hunched over. By the way, post-tentacles, you'll find those in aisle 4.
Thing that I have a problem with, the tentacle thing. We never see tentacles again. It's all spiders and acrid.
Right.
I thought the tall beast had out.
Not
in
really.
The
it had light. Like... It had like mini legs hanging from its midsection, but it didn't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was trying to get a handle on what in the world, what was the creature design?
It's all Lovecraftian type of
like, it felt
monsters.
Like the bugs, the flying bugs had 10 legs. They never really show you anything long. No one, dissects anything. So you can really find out.
Right.
But it was the AT-AT Walker that I was just like, I was the most like, wow, you would see that. And I realize in the moment, these characters, that's where they all find despair. Finally, they finally find the final human emotion of despair.
I think you just nailed something for me that didn't click until just the second. Why this movie works so well for me, and maybe for others, I'll just speak for myself. It's because this concept of, oops, we opened a dimension and it's full of fog creatures, is terrible in the wrong hands. Like, you can make a schlocky B movie out of that, and it would be schlocky and B. What makes this great, and perhaps the original story is the reason, but what makes this great is the personal reaction you would have to something even that outlandish is what matters most. And part of that is showing the spread of crazy religion lady all the way up to skeptic Joe, who doesn't believe anything's really happening. And that's the strength of the movie, is that, because if you just said, hey, we're going to go watch a movie about a bunch of spiders that come out of the fog, that sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But you have these seven steps of human emotion or human action. And I actually noted them all down, because the film goes through these seven steps really clearly. It starts with confusion, then disagreement, then there's infighting, then there's resolution. The two sides, or the three sides, however many, they all resolve to do something. Mm-hmm. Then there's resistance. So we follow the resistance sort of fighters as they go out and actually do something. And then they're overmatched. So you have sadness and then despair. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work without all of that, because you cannot have a good movie with we can't see anything. Like, that's scary for a minute, but after that, I'm used to it now. You can't see everything.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I just think they just did a really good job here. I haven't enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed this movie when I saw it in theaters, and I've seen it, I don't know, 5 times since. This is probably my fifth or sixth time, and I enjoyed it just as much this time.
I can't go with you there. This is my second time seeing it. I also saw it when it came out. I don't need to see it again.
That's surprising to me.
I'd watch it again.
Yeah, I would totally watch it again.
And the reason I don't need to see it again is because it's not, like you said, you like to see uplifting things. But also, like, there's just a quality to movies that are uplifting where I want to see them again to feel what I felt all through Shawshank Redemption. Not just the end of Shawshank Redemption, but all throughout it, I feel so many emotions that are, I think, are good to feel. Mm-hmm. Whereas this one is just, like I just said, you know, fear, confusion, resolution.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's just my thing with my love of post-apocalyptic story. I think that's just, this just ticks all my boxes, I think.
Mm-hmm. The great thing for me is that it was long enough since I'd seen this that I'd forgotten the ending. So it was like, just as gut punchy, like, oh yeah, crap.
Yeah, that's great. I kind of wish I was you in that regard, because I hate to say it's a fun twist. It's not fun.
No, it's not fun at all. Yeah, it is a powerful twist.
Yeah.
I didn't remember until the end. And when it was starting to get towards them, like, oh, that's right. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
It's one you don't, it's not for the kids, this movie.
Nope.
It might be for the teens.
Not unless you like watching them cry.
Yeah. But you got a 15-year-old in the house or something, this is probably okay.
Oh,
handle this kind of stuff. No problem.
Started out with the newly minted 13-year-old. And I saw as I started it, oh, it's rated R, crap. Mm-hmm. And then, once we got to the scene where the kid from American Pie movies is being...
the Sharpinator?
That's who that is. Damn it.
Yeah.
Another one I couldn't put my finger on. Now I know. I guess I could have found out, but I didn't find out. Who's this
kid?
But
I got that far. I got that far through a lot of cursing. Man, yeah. Every character in this movie has the F word in their mouth.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
I didn't think it was that much. Count
your teeth instead.
I didn't count, but I didn't think it was that much.
Well, I think when you watch with a kid, it's probably more.
You do. You pay more attention to that. Yeah.
Yep. Spot it.
Must be. I didn't do an F word count.
Or your parents. You watch a movie with your parents like, oh, jeez. Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, man. Is there that much nudity in this thing? Jeez.
Yeah, that happened a lot. When my kids were, I don't know, 10, 11, we thought, hey, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That'd be awesome. Let's show him one of my movies from my youth. Let's do this. Let's get in here. Fired up Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Yeah, there's a lot of innuendo and dirty little jokes. Yeah. You forget. You just don't remember any of that at the time. But yeah. Also, the Dude movie.
Dude, Where's My Car?
No. I can't think of the damn name of the thing. Sweet. Big Lebowski. Big Lebowski, I think I've talked about this. I watched a version on TNT or something, and it was all really well dialogue replaced for swears and stuff and nudity and everything. It was really well done. And I thought, oh, I thought this movie is a little more edgy. I guess not. Okay, cool. I'm going to show this to my kids. So I went and got it at the Blockbuster or whatever and cranked it up.
Here comes Julianne Moore swinging in.
Yep. Pantsless. Or was that from another thing? That was
Shortcuts was pantsless, but this was topless.
Topless in this. But there's that whole thing. Plus everybody's cussing constantly.
Oh yeah, and then you get the woman, slow mo woman jumping on a trampoline at the porn party.
Oh right, I forgot all about that. Yeah, so all of that stuff's in there. I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're turning this off. You're all 10. We're not doing this.
That's right. This dude does not abide.
Nope, can't abide any of this stuff. But yeah, I it's very difficult for me to say. I don't know why I'm so fond of it, but there's nothing in here I didn't like. I like it all, top to bottom. Yeah. It's just a good movie. If you haven't seen it at home, you should go see it's right now on Netflix, by the way, is where we saw it. And right? That's where we watched it.
Yes.
Speaking of freshly minted 13-year-old, boy, are we watching movies. I didn't realize how many movies we put off over the years, over many years, like many, many years let's hold on that one. Now that we're 13, the rating, the PG-13 rating means nothing. We're going to watch them, I guess.
Does it feel like, is it weird that your kid is essentially the same age as Film Sack? Is that weird? He's a little younger.
No, it's always been true. So I'm used to it.
Okay.
Wait, another year. He's the same age as Film Sack.
How does that work?
Yeah. How does that work? Very weird. All right. You guys want to do some clips? We can do some clips.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Hell yeah.
Totally.
Okay. I don't have a ton because it's not a, I don't know, there's not a lot of quippy stuff in here, but there's, you know, a handful. And so we're going to play him. Here's Toby Jones showing himself for the very first time.
I agree. Let's stay here until we figure it out.
You're not listening.
I guess that was later.
You're not listening.
Things are foggy. I think that was
That was Martina Melissa McBride.
Yes. Yes.
The Carol.
I think so. Yes, that you are correct. Because she was like, I got to get out of here. Here's right. hitting the. Oh, I like this. This is Tom Jane trying to figure shit out. And he had a pratfall moment. Here you go.
Oh, shit.
I just like that.
Just. He's in the dark and there's a generator and it's making smoke. And he's just like. He hits his head coming out of that cage room.
Yeah.
Oh, I could feel it. I felt it in my head.
Yeah. This movie was really good at how people actually act when they don't think people are around and they F up. Like at the very beginning, him trying to crank that chainsaw was exactly what I do every time I try to crank a chainsaw. I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And then I just say a bunch of F bombs and I start reading the instructions sarcastically just to make sure I haven't missed anything. But yeah, that was so real to me. And so hitting his head like that too is exactly how I would do it.
Yeah, it's good. Tom Jane's good at that kind of thing anyway. He's so thick here compared to his stuff on The Expanse. He's so skinny in that. Mm-hmm. Which right. is, I mean, it's the point. He's from the rim or whatever, not the rim, the outers.
Sits there painting paintings and eating bonbons in that house in quote unquote Maine.
That's right. Maine, Louisiana. Maine, Louisiana.
Maine, Louisiana.
Here is the jitters comment. Oh, yeah, something about the jitters.
Nor do I like being talked down to or called stupid by a guy who went to college just because he's got the jitters.
What does that even mean, William Sadler?
I don't know. Went to college just because he's got the jitters?
Yeah. What does that mean?
I think it's being talked down to just because he's got the jitters. There's right. like, oh, that went to he's college scared. Was a parenthetical. You just couldn't see him making the air parentheses.
Right. Well, there's Sadler for you. Here's Toby Jones.
Shut the fuck up and listen.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Look at him getting serious. See, that's Ibbot. Ibbot would do that in the group.
I would.
He'd be like, calm the F down. We're going. Exactly. We're doing. We have it.
Exactly. I would do that, and I have done that.
Here's the scariest thing in the entire film.
Revelations, chapter 15. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power.
Duct tape her now. Put her down. Mm-hmm. You don't have to kill her. Just tape her up. Or just her mouth, you know, and her in her hand so she can't take it off. Ooh, you got to be proactive with her.
Right.
The kid was pretty good.
They got tanks and stuff, right?
Yeah. He's all right. What was he in? He's in other stuff that we know now. He's older, obviously.
Dolphin Tail was the big thing. It's the IMDb known for. Oh, what else was he in?
Dark Knight. He was James Gordon, so Gordon's kid.
Oh, right. Okay.
Goldbergs. He played Gary Ball in 5 episodes. Probably a friend. Dolphin Tail 2.
Sure.
Nothing else. A bunch of CSI stuff. He just does some TV business mostly, it looks like. Yeah. He was good for this, though. I liked him.
Yeah. Yeah, did just fine.
I worried about him all the time.
Believable kid. And he was good with the snot crying. Like the crying where the whole front of your face is wet because you're snotting and you're crying all at the same time.
Yeah, most kid actor cries are very see-throughable. They're just bad.
Yeah.
But he was quite good.
He was good.
Well enough alone. I don't know what this is.
Why can't you just leave well enough alone?
Oh, that's Marcia Gay Harden.
Why don't we just leave the bugs alone and be friends with them?
My dad's friend used to call her Marcia Gay Hardon, and I'm not kidding. He thought it was hilarious to say that. He was like, "Oh, isn't that funny? It's like Marcia Gay Hardon." I'm like, "Yeah,
you get it, son.
That's real funny." Oh, he wasn't my dad. He just was goofball. My dad.
While you're in clips here, did you catch the Wilhelm scream in this movie?
No, crap.
So. It was faint. Once again, like, why are you hiding? Wilhelm screams, but it was faint. There's a, you know, a person out in the mist getting, mutilated and there's a Wilhelm scream in it.
I missed that entirely. It wasn't the kid getting pulled off the glass and sucked up into the sky, was it?
No. This is near the very end.
Okay.
And I know this was, 15 years ago, but let's be done with the Wilhelm scream.
I know, dude. I'm with you so much. Sign this petition, everybody. Hate it. It annoys me. Like, even in old movies where it wasn't annoying yet, I just can't do it. I hate it.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it.
Pulls right out of the movie.
Zero reason. No, everyone gets the joke. Ha ha. Everyone uses it at least once in the movies. Okay. You don't have to, though. Go do other stuff.
Exactly.
Lots of screams to be had. Here's the pee lady.
And I got lots of peas.
You got lots of peas.
I've got lots of peas.
I got to admit, my favorite instant in the entire movie was when she threw that can of peas and hit that woman in the face.
Yeah.
Like, no doubt.
Yeah. Oh, it feels so good in that moment.
It did. They earned it. Here's Toby Jones saying my favorite thing he ever said.
Welcome to Sesame Street. Today's word is expiation.
Yeah. He's great, dude. Really great. I was sad when his character died. Spoiler.
Yeah. Well, I did love how he went out, though. That was good.
Yeah, it was pretty epic, that bit. Here's some angry acting of the week. Here you go.
It's the Arrowhead Project, isn't it? This mist. It's some kind of what? Military f*** up. What were you guys messing with up there, huh?
We got you now, you sorry son of a bitch.
Okay, what I like about that.
Sorry son of a bitch.
This part right here. Oops, wrong one. Hold on.
It's the Arrowhead Project, isn't it? This.
Okay, it's got like a Harrison Ford thing going.
Oh, I was hearing Michael Douglas.
Oh, that's good too. Well, yeah,
but I'm coming down on Harrison Ford's side here. The play it again where he runs the words together. Right. That's hold Harrison on, Ford.
Hold on. For some reason, it's playing funny. There we go.
It's missed. It's some kind of what? Military.
That whole thing.
Yeah,
the sword belongs in a museum, Dad. I did not kill my wife. All right, final clip. This is me after I eat a big block of cheese, okay?
Okay.
So when I eat like a big block of government, you know, just bad cheese, this is me. Door.
Come on!
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, that was me.
Going back to Extra Life Radio, we've been making fun of angry acting, but it's that didn't strike me as difficult as easy. Like that's
hard. No, not at all. That was hard.
An actor.
Yeah, and he had this thing at the end where he's out next to the Jeep or the car, and he's still kind of screaming to the sun, the sky. That could have been super cheese ball. Instead, it really illustrated what you'd be going through. Like combination of shock, horror. What have I done? Not quite ready to deal with that. So now I'm going to be shocked again. Like really, really good stuff from Tom Jane. The man with two first names. All right, let's move on to this here deal here, which is the Film Sack Checklist. Yeehaw's right. First one of the year. Let's see here. This all this sky weed makes me think there are monsters out here. Yeah. Only thing worse than the big spider is that the only thing worse than a big spider is one that's all milky white and semi-translucent. There's a sentence for you.
Ugh.
And finally, who names their grocery store food house? All right, moving on.
Food house.
The same people who named their waffle restaurant, I guess.
I guess so. Hey, who is in, please tell me Toby Jones, but who was in Star Trek? I have no idea if anybody.
I got two connections, and it wasn't Toby Jones, unfortunately.
He'd be great.
So the smaller one is Sam Witwer, who played Private Jessup. Mm-hmm. He was in Star Trek Phase 2, so he's doing a little voice acting there. But he was also in one episode of Enterprise.
Oh.
And, it's been a long road. Long time. Long. It's been a long
road.
Getting from there to here. Anyway, William Sadler is our main connection here. He played Jim in this movie. Mm-hmm. William Sadler had a recurring part on Deep Space Nine as Sloan. So Sloan is a human who claims to be a Section 31 operative and actually like claims a lot of stuff. He makes a lot of claims on many episodes of Deep Space Nine, but you never really know if he was just a LARPer in space, you know?
Oh, there he is. I remember this now. He was great in that. I mean, William Sadler, of course, he was great, but here you go. Here's a picture in the air in our chat. Look at that. He looks like serious Starfleet looking bastard. That's pretty cool. And he recurred.
Not in our chat.
It was in some chat, though. Someone out there is looking at
it. I put it in TWBD. Here it is. There you go. Those guys are like, what the hell are you doing, Scott? I'm going
to
delete
that. He tries to recruit Bashir. He's just good. It's real good.
He's very good. I agree. Let's see. Where are we now? Okay, those are our connections. You know, it's been a while since we recorded. How about this one? Soundtrack great.
It really has.
Yeah. I give it a P for perfect for this. I think it's a really good soundtrack for what it is. And I don't know who did it, but I really like it. It's probably someone we should know, like Horner or somebody, right? Do you know this, Randy? You probably know this. You always know
what?
This. Who's our music person?
What?
Who?
Oh.
Do you
know? So, this, hold on. I have it right here. It's Mark Isham.
Oh, well, see, Isham's great. Nothing wrong with him. Yeah.
That's yeah, awesome. We have, you know, kind of under the radar kind of composer, right? Mm-hmm. Mark Isham has, you know, just been working and nobody really gives him a lot of accolades, but I thought it was good music. Trying to think of another.
I like the stuff at the end where it's like that kind of
operatic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. What was that from? That was actually.
I believe that's The Host of Seraphim by Dead Can Dance.
I think you're right.
You might be right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Whenever I think of it,
actually, like a World of Warcraft song. You seriously go to the end of this movie where the army's driving by. And you will hear, I can't remember the name of the song, but it is a World of Warcraft song, 100%. It's so similar that it's creepy.
Which expansion, if you had to guess? Hard to say, right?
Let me just sing.
Thank you. That's
no, no, apologies.
That's Lich King. Isn't that Lich King? That's Lich King. Wrath of Lich King.
Is it Arthas, my son? Is that the song?
Yeah, is it my son? You have been chosen to be a turd. Yeah.
Anyway, like that's right in here. Mark Isham, just want to, I have one score from him that I think is amazing, and that's the movie 42.
Never saw that.
You know, the Jackie Robinson movie?
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman as Jackie Robinson. That score is really, really good.
Never saw that. I feel like I should have probably seen that.
It's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Got Harrison Ford.
He did Point Break, so we've seen him in that. Or we've heard him in that, I should say. Blade. Anything else here? Let's see. Of Mice and Men, we didn't do that. Anyway, I only knew him in the 80s because I bought his albums. He was kind of a new ager guy. Like, he did Windham Hill stuff. Yeah, he did. He was on the Windham Hill label, and they did, he just did like non-vocal, new age music in the 80s, which I got really hooked on for a while. Not like some kind of hippie way. I just like the music.
Okay. If you
just
say so.
Just to clear that up. All right. Let's get to the Twitter post. This is where you guys in 280 characters or less, will you sum the movie up? Let's start with Randy.
The Mist. What if Maximum Overdrive, but the trucks are monsters and we make it so that you can't see them. And the real enemy is people's inability to cooperate when they're fearful. This is going to be so cool, man.
I see what you did. That was you coughing on your cannabis is what you were doing.
Your doobie.
Doobs. Moving on to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, is it me turn? Yeah. Okay. Mist. No, William Sadler, I do not want to taste your size 10 work boot. And I don't think that is the threat you think it is. Small foot, small tentacles. Hashtag shoot Randy first.
Shoot Randall first. Just to
shoot Randall first.
Yeah, exactly. Brian Ibbett, please take it home.
The Mist. Oh, now I get the title. He missed the army by 5 minutes.
Oh, I kind of hate that. Oh, no. I never even thought of it, but now I hate it. All right. Well, that leads beautifully into our alternate titles today, which were just handed to me. This was almost called a missed opportunity for Frank Darabont to make about 300 more movies by now. That's too long, though. They didn't go with that.
It's the same joke that I made. You just hated mine.
100%.
Yeah, that's why I hated it. You took it.
Yeah. Or The Gunslinger, starring Toby Jones. All right, moving on. Let's get down here to this. We got a Patreon message instead of an email this week, because I just thought this was a good one. This is from Riley Payne. Sent this on our Patreon over at patreon.com/filmsack. And he says this: guys, I may have found the perfect film sack movie, 2006's Firewall, starring Harrison Ford. You have Paul Bettany as the bad guy, Virginia Madsen as the wife, Robert T-1000 Patrick as his friend, and Nicolaj Jamie Lannister Coster Waldo as henchman. I'm not saying it's a good movie, but it's a film sack movie.
It feels very similar. Very similar.
I remember it coming out, but I don't remember it being well received. Anyway, it says, I knew it was something that Wikipedia said released on DVD or HD DVD, not to mention Blu-ray. I don't know if it's streaming anywhere. We can find out, but that sounds like fun. It sounds like a, Harrison Ford.
It does sound like it's us.
I'm out with it.
Yeah. It's probably really bad with the tech, if I had to guess. You know, it's like, oh, Harrison Ford's cracking security and getting into the bank. That sounds like bullshit. So bring it on, I say.
For sure. I like bullshit. Yeah. Let's watch it. 2023, the year of bullshit.
Let's do it. We also got a text, and this came to us at 801-471-0462. This is a film sack suggestion also. We didn't get a name, though, I don't think, with this one. Yeah, we didn't. He just sent it. It says, I remember seeing this on the shelf in the video rental store and arguing with my D&D guys. I'm DVD guys.
My DVD guys.
Yeah, everyone's got a DVD guy. Anyway, whether we should watch this. What a piece of crap. LOL. I might be remembering it wrong, but it was some time ago. But I seem to recall a shot where they slice into something with a sword, and you could tell it was styrofoam from the bits flying out of it. Reading the Wikipedia article now, I don't know if it was part of a series, so now I wonder if they are just, or if they're all just a sackable. Enjoy, or maybe I'm sorry in advance. Maybe someday I'll find out. Did he say the name of the movie, though?
I don't think he said the name of the film. I was waiting for...
Yeah, it's not here.
It's shitoutofluck.com, apparently.
Ah, damn it. I always love when you guys suggest stuff, but I guess I didn't see it here, but he didn't include the movie. Oh, the mystery. It'll persist for a week until we find out.
I like that he ended it with the Keanu meme, I'm happy for you, though, or sorry that happened.
Yeah. 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 I think that's kind of what he was doing. Anyway, he says, that's what he says. So, look, if you're someone like him and you send a text to 801-471-0462, you probably should include the movie name in there.
Yeah.
And then,
you're going to recommend whatever. Something.
Yeah.
Hot tip.
Hot tip. Yeah, it's pretty hot. So don't touch it with both hands or something. Anyway, hey, moving on. Speaking of Patreon, we had a bunch of new folks join us over the last little bit of time. Some of these are brand new 2023 people as well. We have the following people. Rasmus, love that name. Edward, Willie.
Edward.
Chris, Dan, Robert, Jeff the human, and Maximus the dog. That's one entry.
Nice.
Oh, wait. They're sharing a Patreon?
I know, right?
Whoa,
that's against the rules. And then yeah. Michael M. also joined us as well. Thank you all very much. You're going to be the beneficiaries, though. You're going to never get ads. You're going to have pre-show content every week, including today. Monthly special episodes from the host. Who do we have this month? Is it my turn? Whose turn is it?
My turn, I think.
Oh, it's Dunaway's turn. Never mind. Dunaway. Mine's
right?
After his. Yeah. You are next because Randy went, or Ibbit did his time
Randy,
travel.
Randy
time
first.
Travel. Yep.
Yeah.
So it's your turn.
Then
yep.
Scott.
Who was December? I mean, December. Who was January 1st?
That's Dunaway.
Yeah, that's Dunaway.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I better get on it.
Yeah, yeah. This is your month.
I thought it was anytime through January, but I usually do the 15th.
But you can
anyway,
do whenever. So, yeah, you get it sometime.
I do my middle of the month, but
sure.
Whatever.
Totally
sure.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to those who are commenting on the Patreon. If you're a Patreon subscriber to FilmSack, go leave us some comments in there. There's we're ready to chat with
Receive
you. I see a comment from Greg Friddle. I see a comment from Sean Porter. That's really, really cool. It's a fun little place.
I got a Greg Friddle for Christmas. It cooks paninis. It's a panini thing.
I was given so many kitchen implements. I got home from this vacation and I was like putting away all my gifts. It's like, wow, I got so many. I don't know what to do with so. I got a pineapple corer.
I got a rotating cake stand. So for frosting cakes, you just plop it on there and go.
I didn't realize there's so much bacon going on over your house. And bacon, I don't mean bacon. I mean baking.
Yeah, baking. Yeah. I bake, brother.
You could include a little bacon in your baking, though. That'd be fine.
Oh, are you kidding me? Absolutely.
That's delicious.
Yeah. Sweet and savory, baby.
Not in today's almond croissants, though. Nope.
No, don't do that.
Nope.
A reminder that we have a new film coming up, and it is Moonfall, I believe on Prime.
Let me double check that.
Yeah, make sure we know where this is at.
Oh, we're on HBO Max.
HBO Max. Okay.
I couldn't remember. This is new. New-ish.
New-ish.
New-ish. It was supposed to come out during the pandemic and got pushed to last year being 2022. Mm-hmm. And
look at this.
Right from the first trailer we saw, like a film sack movie.
Absolutely. Yeah. So this is Noah Emmerich, or Roland Emmerich, rather, not Noah, his brother. The Emmerichs, notable for all their disaster movies. We've seen a ton of them here on the show, 2012 and Day After Tomorrow and all that.
And Halle Berry, known for her disastrous choices, apparently.
Yeah, ever right? since her Oscar, she just kind of floundering around. But Halle Berry, Patrick Wilson, and Donald Sutherland. Who's John Brady? Bradley, sorry.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, John Bradley, here you go.
That is
Samwell Tarly from Game of Thrones.
That's right, Samwell Tarly. And also Michael Pena, I like him.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
We'll see how much you like all these people after we watch Moonfall.
That's right.
John Bradley has my favorite entry on IMDb, like across the board, because apparently there are so many John Bradleys that have been added to IMDb over the years that he did not come in the first 20 of them.
Really?
And so if you look him up, he's John Bradley number 24.
Oh, wow.
In IMDb.
That's a lot of John Bradley.
He looks like a pope. Like you see, looks like John Bradley the 24th.
Yeah.
He might be one of us, though. World of Warcraft Battle for Azeroth. He played a voice of a character named Webb, Apprentice Martin Webb in, let's see, Robot Chicken. He played Gordon Ramsay.
That's
pretty
funny.
Cool. Yeah. I don't know. So he always seemed like a very affable, nice dude. So
for sure.
Happy to support his Moonfall efforts.
He started acting in only 2011 and got his choice role on the biggest show of all time, like a year later.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, he was in his first role was in the Borgia show. The Borgias? Is that it? Yeah, Borgia. Oh, no, it's not the one I'm thinking of. Anyway, whatever. Good on him. And we'll see that next week. Again, that's Moonfall. HBO Max is where you'll watch that. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. Patreon.com/filmsack is where you really want to go. All links point to that. Filmsack@gmail.com. Oh, quick note. If you are if you're used to going to the posts and downloading the show manually, I know there's some of you who do that. Totally fine if that's how you get the show, if you're not using a player or some other method or an app. Some of you have been concerned with the shift to new hosting that you can't do that anymore. You actually can. It's just one extra click. There's a button that says share on that player where it used to just say download. It says share. You hit that. Then there's a download button and you're done. So just to let people know. I've had a bunch of people write and go, I used to listen this way. Now I can't no more. What happened to your feed? I don't know why they have that accent.
Why do they all live where I live?
I don't know why. It's weird. Why did I do that? what inner thing says about me that I always put that accent on there? I don't know. But I do know this. It's still downloadable. You'll be okay. All right? Just go click it, and you're in it to win it. I'll even have a little thing in the post that reminds people and has a little video of how it works, just in case. Trying to make it, accessible to everyone. So there's that. Also, filmsack@gmail.com for our emails. Text us, 801-471-0462. And if you're on Twitter, you can find us at Texas. Texas.
Texas.
Hook'em Horns.
At Filmsack on Twitter. Yes, Randy, sorry. You were going to say?
I was just saying Hook'em Horns, although the Horns didn't have their star running back on Thursday night.
Is he injured or what's his deal? No. What's going on there?
No, it's that stupid thing in college football where the absolute best players in the country sit out in the final game because they're saving themselves for the NFL.
NFL.
Oh, for the gotcha.
I got it. Because they're top draft picks, which we'll find out about in April, I guess. All right. Well, that's it. Thank you all for listening. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Expiation.
We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Welcome to Sesame Street.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.